Moncrief on News Talk.
You'd think the whole point of being a spy is that you don't look like a spy. A spy could be the person sitting next to you right now. Yes, your grandmother has a code name. Ireland, though, is the only country in Europe with no dedicated counterintelligence agency. So even if you've caught Granny speaking Russian into a radio hidden in her floorboards, there's no one to investigate it. The business economist Sinead Breslin has been looking into this deficit in our defence. Good afternoon, Sinead.
Hi, how are you?
Not
too
bad.
It could even be the person on the phone to you at the minute.
Yeah, you could well be. The thing is, I suppose people listening might say, Sinead, why would we need one? We're a neutral country. We're unimportant. Who's going to spy on us?
Well, actually, you'll find that most neutral countries have more, not less, counterintelligence than non-neutral countries because they need it, right? So Ireland, for example, we are very interesting to lots of other countries, especially as we've seen in our waters, Russia. So we have had many, many years of serious espionage activity happening in Ireland and with Irish citizens. And this has largely gone undetected in Ireland. So nearly every instance, of which there are many, of spies being found have been found by other countries in Ireland. So Ireland doesn't actually have the ability to figure out whether or not we have spies, yet we have lots of them.
Yeah. And why would spies be operating here? What precisely would they be spying on?
Well, there's lots of things, really. I mean, we're a very influential country. So we have a lot of foreign policy that comes out of Ireland. We influence a lot of other countries. We might be neutral, but that doesn't mean that we're unimportant. We have a lot of cables, for example, that are flowing around and through Irish waters. We have headquarters of large multinationals that are very influential, and they are all in Ireland. And they have lots of executives that are coming and going from the US and other places. So we might be on the fringe of Europe, but we're a very interesting country full of assets that other countries might want to have some influence over.
Yeah. Now, if and we're talking theoretically here, if you did think your next door neighbor was a spy, who would you report that to?
Well, this is what I wrote about this week in the Irish Times. Ireland is the only country in Europe that doesn't have a dedicated place to go and kind of, you know, tell on these so-called spies too. So we don't have what is called counterintelligence, which basically means that if you do think that you are talking to or you've been infiltrated by a spy, there's no one to take this to, which is a severe oversight. And especially as we think about, you know, the EU presidency, which is in Ireland at the minute, I'm sure there's lots of interesting activity happening around the presidency. But there's no one to report it to at the minute, which is one of the kind of bigger shortcomings of the current Irish security model. And
yeah,
maybe one that will change in the future.
Well, there is a military intelligence section, J2. It wouldn't be them, no? What do they investigate?
No. Yeah, and so it's interesting because like a lot of the different aspects of Irish government, you know, it's very fragmented. So we kind of have, we have different Garda special detective units. We have the Department of the Taoiseach, which have security officials to prepare briefings. We have some sort of military units, but none of them that look after specifically counterintelligence. So we have no way of collecting the data that we need. And then there's no one on the other end of that to look at it and say, oh, well, what do we do if we do suspect that somebody is a spy? And again, that data is highly fragmented across the guards and the security apparatus. And this is very unique in Europe. Nowhere else has this very fragmented system.
Yeah. And even so presumably if there isn't a counterintelligence agency, there's no oversight committee within the Oireachtas that would look after this kind of thing.
Yeah. So now you're getting into a really interesting point. The issue is that we don't have what is called security vetting in Ireland. So that we have no law that establishes clearance levels. So, for example, in the United States, there are different people who are awarded different levels of security clearance. That means that they can look at different documents or private information relating to intelligence. So we don't have a body in Ireland that creates this kind of clearance for people or for organizations, which is why the committees can't even be briefed. So even if the Gardaí wanted to share threat intelligence with TDs, we have no legal instrument that defines who can actually be cleared to hear this. And this is actually interesting when we think about when Zelensky was here previously and we had no anti-UAV technology. So we basically had to say, look, we don't have the capabilities to protect the skies. So we had Portuguese military that gave us their sensing equipment, and they actually did it for us. However, where it gets to complete absurdity is that we, as in the IRA security apparatus, didn't have security clearance to get the data from the Portuguese government about our own country. And so you start to run rings around yourself trying to understand how on earth we can protect anybody from anything when we don't have such basic functioning of security.
So the Portuguese know more about, in a certain aspect, they know stuff about what's happening in Ireland more than our security services do and our government do.
Well, during that period when they were monitoring the country, yes. And it's really absurd. But I mean, if you have a spy, I mean, you know, spy networks are as old as, you know, it's one of the oldest forms of kind of espionage. And we've had them going back in Ireland hundreds of years. But even if you look at the spies that have been, you know, more recent in the 1980s and onwards, we just have so many of them. I mean, you know, in 2010, Mossad forged 8 Irish passports for a hit squad that killed a Hamas commander in Dubai. You know, this kind of Russian illegals ring in America the next year, in 2011, used stolen identities of 6 Irish citizens to do illegal activity in the US. So this is a common occurrence, and we are one of the only places that can't. And interestingly, in each of these examples, and there are many of different nationalities spying on us, it is another country that has told us about it.
Yeah. Now, and people will remember, because this was only a couple of years ago, that there were allegations, I think it was in the Sunday Times, that there was a politician in the Oireachtas who was a Russian asset.
Yes, and this is really interesting because of how we dealt with it. I say we, you know, how the Oireachtas dealt with it. You know, because there's no formal mechanism to investigate any of this, even the rumor itself is hugely damaging because you can't prove that it's not true. And so what ended up happening during this example is that the Oireachtas tried to clear themselves. Each of the members stood up one after another to declare that they were not the spy. Now, this is actually a really old term called compurgation. It's a medieval procedure that England would have used, you know, back in the 1800s to clear any accusations of spies. So because we modern infrastructure to do this, we're really going back to what England did in the 1800s to say, look, I am not the spy. You know, it's not me.
And the fact that every member of the Oireachtas stood up and said, I'm not the spy, was that good enough for the government? And did the government ask the members of the Oireachtas to do this? Or was it a spontaneous round of denials?
You know, I think it was Eamon Ryan who kind of stood up and said, you know, we should all clear ourselves so that we know that it wasn't us. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous. You know, I think if you're in the playground, you might do something similar. But, you know, the accusation of a spy or any sort of espionage in Ireland is actually incredibly damaging because we don't have the ability to prove whether or not it's true. And so I guess the point that I was maybe making in my piece in the Irish Times is that you don't even need to send a spy to Ireland to really damage the political system here, because the accusation of one is so it's kind of creates this flurry of activity because we have no way to prove or disprove it, that the accusation itself is more damaging than an actual spy.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, there is this case of this guy, Sergei Cherkasov, who studied in Trinity for 4 years, pretending to be Brazilian, and no one noticed.
Yes. And he was actually, yeah. So not only was he Russian, but he was actually a GRU officer, which is the Russian military intelligence. So he was there for 4 years studying politics. And again, you know, he used that influence, his Irish credentials, to try to infiltrate the International Criminal Court's Russia war crimes investigation. So, you know, of course, the only reason we know this is because the Dutch told us about it. Again, because we don't have any ability to learn these things ourselves. So the Dutch intelligence had to kind of say, look, Ireland, you have a spy amongst you, and he's trying to really infiltrate and to get caught up in the criminal courts proceedings against Russian war crimes. So it's actually a very serious matter, although it can be quite funny at times. But there are moments where it's pretty bad that we don't have this capability in Ireland.
Yeah. Have there been has that ever been proposed within government to do something about this?
Oh, I mean, you know, there were security reforms not too long ago in which there was kind of the in which there was somebody who was put in charge of looking at the security legislation. Now, that wasn't actually reforming the legislation. That was kind of just overseeing it. But serious security reforms, defense and security reforms in Ireland have not happened. Part of this is because we don't have any really defined stance on neutrality. And so we are very careful and curiously slow about trying to, you know, kind of put on any military or security apparatus within Ireland. That obviously comes at a cost, whereby we don't have the capabilities that other countries do. So we are historically very slow when it comes to defense or security. We don't have most of the capabilities that other countries do, and not even just equipment, but, you know, policies and procedures and strategies is kind of what we're lacking at the minute. So, yes, of course, there's been proposals over the years, but none of it's actually been implemented.
Yeah, that's astonishing. Sinead, thank you very much for talking to us today. That was Sinead O'Sullivan there, who is a business economist. One texter, Kevin, says, I thought we had Garda Special Branch and Army G2, formerly J2. That's military intelligence. But as you heard there, that kind of isn't their job. That's somebody else's job. So basically, if I discovered a spy, I would have to ring someone who gave a damn, like the Americans, says Tony. Maybe. Though Brian says spies have always operated in Ireland, the fact that we are a neutral country meant that Cold War era spies generally weren't on our radar, and the common travel area between the UK and Ireland meant that Dublin was often used as an entry port from outside of the UK into the UK. The fact that we have never really taken external security seriously reflects the greater perception of the immediate threat of internal security issues such as Northern Ireland, says Brian. Yeah, you'd wonder about that, all right.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.